If you want to go to hell, you got to work to go to hell. You got to mess up your mind. You got to spend late night hours in clubs, and you got to run around, and you got to make yourself vulnerable to disease. But when Jesus takes control of your life, you can be sane and in your right mind. Come on, say amen. You can do the right thing at the right time. You can keep yourself in the right way for the right person, because Jesus takes us and gives us a new understanding of what life is all about.
You've been listening to the Breath of Life radio broadcast, a ministry of Maranatha Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 4615 South MacArthur Drive. That's the corner of MacArthur Drive and Willow Glen Street in Alexandria. You are cordially invited to worship with us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Sabbath school and 10 a.m. for divine worship. Prayer meetings are held each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Maranatha continues to offer to our listeners free of charge Bible study lessons in a colorful and easy to understand format. A beautiful certificate is issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And now, here's today's message.
Amen. So open your Bible to Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to look at an example of great faith in the Bible, because that's the level that God wants you operating at. God doesn't want you to have a little bit of faith. He doesn't want you having shipwrecked faith. Amen. He wants you to have great faith, strong faith. He doesn't want your faith to be weak and puny. He wants you to live with strong faith, great faith. That's what we are aiming for. Amen. Because great faith produces great results. Tell your neighbor, say, great faith will produce great results. All right? All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 5.
And when Jesus was entering into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus said unto him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord,
I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast in the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Amen. Amen. Now we see an example here. The Bible's given us the Holy Spirit, saw fit to put this in the Word of God. An example of someone who moved with great faith. Amen. And then we see that great faith produced a great result. But we need to look at this. What made the centurion's faith so great? Why was his faith great, and why did Jesus marvel? That means Jesus was really amazed. And if you can amaze Jesus, you done a good work. I mean, he's the creator of everything. Amen. How many know he's the creator? And if you can amaze him, I'm going to tell you, your faith can amaze him even today. He can still be amazed by your faith. I was reading that one time and I said, I wonder if I've ever done anything or said anything that amazed Jesus. And I'm going to tell you that I have and you have, if you've ever made a statement of faith from your heart, I'm going to tell you, he still loves faith and he's still looking for faith. In fact, the Bible says when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will faith still be present on earth? Will people still be living by faith, trusting in God when he come back? I'm going to tell you, I want to know why his faith was so great. Because he received a great miracle for his servant. Amen. And it caused Jesus to marvel. Have I ever said anything that made Jesus marvel? Have you? I'm going to tell you, you get an opportunity today. We can marvel Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's take a look. Let's go back and let's look at what's happening here. And let's look at this and let's glean from these scriptures here what we need for where we are today so that we can do God's will effectively and efficiently. Look at verse 5. Let's go back to verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, a Roman soldier, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Hallelujah. Now, the centurion was a Roman soldier. He's not even an Israelite. He's a Roman soldier. But Luke chapter 7 tells us that he heard about Jesus. And when he heard about Jesus and what he was doing, it caused faith to arise in his heart. This soldier was a good soldier. In fact, the Bible says that he had even built a synagogue for the Jews, and the Jews were really impressed with him. He was a man that loved the nation of Israel. He loved the Israelites. Even built him a synagogue, a Roman soldier who built a synagogue. But this man heard about Jesus, and he had a servant that got sick. And so he sought for Jesus. When Jesus entered into Capernaum, he was engaged in a conversation with this Roman soldier. His servant was sick. In other words, he was paralyzed and in intense, excruciating pain, tormenting pain. And Luke chapter 7 tells us that he was ready to die. This servant was almost dead. And he was in excruciating pain. Now, this is important for us to realize what's going on here. Jesus' response to this officer's request was immediate. Jesus' response was, I will come and heal him, showing his desire and willingness to heal, to restore, and to deliver from oppression. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is willing right now to bring healing in your life. Jesus is willing right now. You ain't got to twist his arm. You ain't got to beg him. I'm going to tell you, he has a willing heart right now because he's already provided healing for you. He took your sickness and your disease when he was on the cross so you could have life, health, and strength. He's willing to bless you right now. I will come and heal him. Shows the desire of God and his willingness to bless us whenever we need blessing. It shows his desire and his willingness to heal us whenever we're in need of healing. Amen. This is good news, y'all. If you receive this word today, you're going to have God's best this year. Look at verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now let's examine these two scriptures right here, verse 8 and 9. The centurion answered and said, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof. But do what? Speak the word only. And what's going to happen? All right, now he's not saying that my servant might be healed. I wish my servant would get healed. It's possible that he'll be healed. He told Jesus, he said, speak the word only, and my servant will or shall, I'm going to tell you, shall and will is two of the strongest words in the human language, will be healed. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. The officer's conversation with Jesus was brief and to the point. No circumlocution. Y'all know what circumlocution is, right? The use of an excessive amount of words to express a simple idea. That's circumlocution. So he was right to the point. He didn't even introduce himself. Didn't even tell Jesus his name. Didn't even give Jesus his qualifications. Lord, I have a servant at home that's grievously tormented. Speak the word only and he'll be healed. Right to the point. Amen. His response is remarkable and amazing. His words and actions reveal his heart. They reveal his wisdom, his understanding, and his knowledge of how things work in our world. He understood it. He had a heart of compassion. That's the first thing I want you to see, is that he had a heart of compassion. He identified with the suffering of his servant, and he moved with compassion to get help because of his deep inner yearning and desire to eliminate the pain and suffering that he sought out Jesus for his servant. So this man was full of compassion. This man, no doubt, could have gotten another servant. But he cared about his servant's soul that he had such a deep yearning on the inside to aid and assist to remove the suffering, even though he didn't have the power to do it. He didn't have the power to make his servant well. He's almost dead, and he's in excruciating pain. And this man had something on the inside and said, I've got to get help for him. I've got to do something to relieve this suffering and this pain. And so he went to the one that he knew that had authority over everything. Amen. Glory to God. He sought out Jesus. And when Jesus said, I will come and heal him, Jesus said, I will come and heal him, because he was responding to the soldier's compassion. So when you bring compassion to the Lord, when you move with compassion, I'm going to tell you, you're moving with God. Hallelujah. His compassion moved Jesus to the point that Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Glory to God. Compassion played a part in strong faith. You have to have compassion. Compassion moves the heart of God. And the Bible talks about how Jesus was moved with compassion. And every time Jesus would move with compassion, somebody got blessed. Somebody received a miracle. Somebody got healed. Somebody got fed. Every time he moved with compassion, somebody's life gets better. Every time God moves with compassion, suffering is eliminated or removed. Amen? Praise God. And so Jesus is moving with compassion too. He just healed a leper and wasn't afraid of the leprosy. Went and put his hand on a leper. Let's examine this officer here, this Roman officer. The first thing, he had compassion. The second thing, he had a humble mind, and he showed humility by the statement that he made. He publicly pleaded with Jesus and said, Jesus, I've got a servant at home that's grievously tormented. He's in excruciating pain. And notice the statement that he made. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. These words show that he had the highest honor and respect for Jesus. I'm not even worthy for you to come into my house. My house is not worthy of you. He had the highest respect and the highest honor for Jesus. I don't know if he felt that way about anybody else, but he felt that way about Jesus. I'm not even worthy for you to even come under my roof. So we see that strong faith, great faith, highly esteems Jesus. Hold him in high esteem. Holds him in a place of honor. These words show that he had the highest honor and respect for Jesus. He was not arrogant or self-centered. He made no mention of who he was, no formal introduction at all. So he was a humble man. Humility, that's another reason why Jesus went. So you can move Jesus in a lot of ways. You can move Jesus with your compassion, but you can move him with your humility too, because God gives grace to the humble. He got everything going. You see why Jesus says his faith is great? This man got compassion going. He got humility going. Humility, God gives grace to the humble. There's no way Jesus can tell him no. There's no way for Jesus to say, I ain't coming. There's no way Jesus is going to say, I'm sorry, but not today. He's got too much going on in his heart. This soldier, this officer, this Roman officer got too much going on for Jesus to tell him no. Number three, he demonstrated his understanding of authority and the power of words. Notice what he said. I am a man under authority. What does that mean? He means I'm an officer in the Roman army, but I got a superior officer. He said, I'm a man under authority. I've got people over me. And then he understood this. He said, I am a man in authority. I've got people under me. I'm under somebody, but I got other people under me. So he understood authority. And then he made this statement. I get things done. I'm going to paraphrase what he said. He said, I get things done by words. I say to this man, go. And he goes because I'm in authority. I say to another one, come. And he comes. I say to a servant, do this. And they go do it. He said, I get things done by my words.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, when he made that statement, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He's saying something else. He's saying more than was on that page there. And that's what Jesus is looking into. He recognized Jesus' authority over everything, spiritual or physical. That everything was under Jesus' authority. And because Jesus was in authority, all he had to do was say. He said, just like I command humans that are under my authority, Jesus, you command everything that's under you, and sickness and disease, this condition that my servant has is under your authority, and all you got to do is speak to it, and it will be gone, and my servant will be healed. When he made that statement, he didn't use a lot of words. But his actions showed that he had compassion. His words showed that he had humility. Amen. And his words showed that he had faith. His words revealed the faith that was in his heart. Faith can be heard. Faith is released through words. How many of you are able to speak words? Then you are able to release faith. If you can talk and release words, then you can say a faith command. Amen. Glory to God. Now let's get this here. He had a heart of compassion. He was humble. And he demonstrated his understanding of authority and the power of words. Now let's look at Jesus' response. When Jesus heard it, when he heard it, he marveled. That means Jesus listening for your words. And he said to them that followed, verily I say to you, I have not found so great faith, not even among my own people. For your faith to work at a high level, you're going to have to cultivate a heart of compassion. You're going to have to walk in humility, and you're going to have to understand who's in charge. Do you know who's in charge? See, the soldier's saying, look, Jesus, you're in charge. You're in authority. Just like I can command soldiers under me to go, to come, to do this, and my instructions get carried out, you have the same power. But you're in authority over everything. All you got to do is say, be healed, and my servant going to be healed. You say, well, Pastor Greg, how does that affect me? How does that help me? I'm going to tell you how it's going to help you right now. Hallelujah. The soldier's servant was healed in the same hour. He received what he believed in 1 hour's time. If his faith can work on that level, so can yours. Notice that his servant was healed in the same hour. Jesus didn't even have to come. Let's finish looking at what Jesus' response is. Jesus' response is in verse number 13. And Jesus said to the centurion, how did Jesus respond? Go your way. As you have believed, so be it done unto you. Now I ask the question, how did Jesus know what this man believed? Because of his words. Your words are going to identify what you really believe. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. By your words, you'll be justified, and by your words, you'll be condemned. Jesus said, as you have believed, so be it done unto you. As you have believed, so be it done unto you. As you have believed, so be it done unto you. I'm telling you today that as you believe, it will be done unto you. The question is, what do you believe? Jesus knew what the officer believed by what he said. Your words reveal what is in your heart, and they reveal what you really believe. It is important what you believe and what you say, because what you say reveals what your faith is. Amen? So you need to take note of what you've been saying. Now, I've been saying, I know what I believe. I believe that this is going to be my best year. That's what I believe. Amen. I'm believing that because I believe the word. I believe I haven't seen God's best, so I'm due for it. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm believing that. That's what I'm believing. I'm believing that I will have opportunity to minister more this year than in any other time. I'm telling you what I believe. I believe I'll have increase like I never had. I believe I'll see reconciliation like I've never seen it. I believe that everything that has been lost or gotten away from me is going to be recovered and restored. Now, that's what I believe. And I believe that because Jesus has authority in my life. He has authority over every impossible situation in my life. I believe. What do you believe? What are you saying? Jesus' response to great faith was, as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And let me tell you this. This is always Jesus' response to great faith. He doesn't change. When you give him great faith, he will say the same thing back to you. As you have believed, so be it done to you. Now, the question is, what do you believe and what can you believe for? Hallelujah. What do you believe about 2012? What just came in your heart when I said that? What do you believe about it? Do you believe that things are going to be the same? Things are not going to change? What do you believe about your family? Do you believe your family going downhill? Do you believe that you're going to have more broken relationships this year? No, don't believe that. What do you believe about your body? Do you believe you're healed? Do you believe your family is restored? Amen. Do you believe your family is healthy? That God is mending relationships that have been broken? What do you believe about your family this year? Do you believe your family is going to have the best year it ever had? What do you believe? I'm asking you, what do you believe? Because when you answer this question, you're setting your destiny. You're setting the course for the rest of the year. Do you believe your family's blessed? Do you believe your family's overcoming? What do you believe about your body? Do you believe you're going to restore your health if it's been lost? Do you believe you're healed by Jesus' stripes? What do you believe about your body? Do you believe your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Do you believe your body is healthy and strong? Do you believe your health is being recovered? God said, I will restore health to you. What do you believe about your finances? What are you saying about your money? What are you saying about your job? What are you saying about your ministry? What are you saying about your business? What are you saying about your career? Are you saying you're blessed? Are you saying you're going to have more than you ever had? Are you saying you're going to give more than you ever gave? You can give more than you ever gave if you have more than you ever had. See, some people look at it and they say, well, I'm only making this much. I can't give no more. No, I'm not believing that I'm going to give more on what I got. I believe more going to come in so I can give more. See how people limit themselves? Oh, I can't give no more. This is where I'm at. I ain't talking about giving more from where you at. I'm talking about experiencing increase. I'm going to give more because I'm going to have more. Now, you don't have to believe that about yourself. You say, well, you know, my job only paid it. You can limit yourself to your job if you want, but you're going to have what you believe for. If that's all you can believe is what your job providing, then that's all you're going to have. Right? If that's what you believe, look, Pat, this is all I got. I ain't got no more coming in.